Happy Friday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our macro minute for Friday, May 15th, 2026. As always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is this the start of a correction or crash? Our answer is a tolerable correction is the highest probability outcome, meaning investors should sit tight and ride it out unless our risk management overlays, KISS being for retail, Dr. Mo being for institutional, signal something different in the coming days or weeks. This correction may feel like a crash to some because the most recent leg of the 42 macro paradigm C bull market, which began last year in April, was driven by speculative fervor and signals the presence of speculative excesses in the AI trade. Traders who did not heed our crowding model's bearish signal in the NASDAQ 100 from earlier this week should take advantage of the elevated price levels to take profits as the Fed, ECB, Bank of England, and Bank of Japan appear set to contribute to bond and currency volatility in the coming months. This increasingly probable outcome will be bearish for global liquidity and risk assets. As always, we'll wrap up from a question from our community here in our 42 Macro Dashboard. This one's titled, is AI creating some shadow liquidity? It says, hi, Darius. Really appreciate all that you do to keep us informed and safer and sleeping better at night. Appreciate you. If you have time for a question, of course I do. I wonder if you would address the fact that some of the short end of the rates complex is fairly close to going into negative territory in terms of real rates. And we know how the large market participants borrow and deploy because they get paid to take on debt in real terms. And this typically forces capital further out on the risk curve. That is correct. But will negative rates have this effect moving forward, or are there mitigating factors this time around? So the first thing I'll say is the assumption that real rates, you know, stimulate borrowing is very true. But the thing I'll say, just kind of taking it to my Bloomberg here, you know, we're not close to real rates on the short end of the curve. The blue line here being the two-year real yield, the two-year treasury yield deflated by the two-year inflation swap rate. We've been trading, you know, basically around 100 basis points on the real rate basis for basically about a year now. If you want to go find some real rates or rates that are pretty close to real, you got to go to China, you got to go to the UK, you got to go to the Eurozone, you got to go to Switzerland. That's where you're going to be able to finance, you know, cheap leverage here, so, or cheap leverage in capital markets. And then by and large, that's what we're seeing, right? We saw Google do the Japanese yen deal. We're increasingly seeing AI providers, you know, access global debt capital markets, I think to the tune of about $300 billion over the past year or so. You know, to finance the AI CapEx. The number one thing I would highlight as it relates to the growth of leverage, financial leverage, is the continued decline in the SOFR IRB spread, which in our opinion is a function of the Fed's, the effectiveness of the Fed's Reserve Management Purchases Program. They're currently annualizing at about $640 billion in terms of RMP, and that's had a pretty profound impact in returning the repo market back to not necessarily abundant reserves regime, but certainly something in that direction. If you look at the SOFR IRB spread, we're now back at -9 basis points, -4 basis points on a trailing 3-week basis. These are both the lowest levels we've seen since the early fall of last year when we began warning about the tightness in the repo market and ultimately presaged some of the volatility that we saw in, you know, from October really through the end of March. And so kind of wrapping up, you know, The Fed, you know, the rest of the Fed and its peer central banks are all moving in a hawkish direction. We can see this in terms of what's being priced in overnight index swaps markets for the respective central banks. Since the U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict began, the ECB, four rate hikes have been priced into the ECB curve over a next 12-month basis. One rate hike has been priced into the Bank of Japan curve on a next 12-month basis with three total. I think there's four total for the ECB. Two rate hikes have been priced into the Swiss National Bank curve with two rate hikes priced in total. Five rate hikes have been priced into the Bank of England curve with three rate hikes priced total. And then the Fed, the Fed curve, the U.S. dollar curve is four rate hikes have been priced in to now, you know, from pricing in three rate cuts to now pricing in one rate hike. And so ultimately, we expect the language coming from Kevin Warsh and his colleagues on the FOMC to be hawkish at the margins alongside the rest of the global central banks in the coming months. Target mid-June for when you're really going to start to see some movement by these central banks in terms of what they're pivoting their reaction functions in an incrementally hawkish direction, which would ultimately exacerbate the bond market volatility and the currency market volatility that is starting to brew, but not yet really kicked off. And the reason we think that could cause problems in asset markets is because the Fed is demonstrably lagging behind its peer central banks in terms of what it's priced in from a tightening perspective, only one rate hike versus four for the ECB, three for the Bank of Japan, three for the Bank of England, and two for the Swiss National Bank. So if the Fed plays catch up there, you're going to have a stronger dollar in the coming months, and you're going to have a decline in global liquidity, which obviously be very negative for risk assets, particularly the crowded AI trade that is now starting to come unwound at the margins. So we'll wrap it up there. Darius Dell here presenting our macro minute for Friday, May 15th, 2026. Best of luck out there today. We'll catch you back here on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice. And 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.